Good morning. I don't know when you're listening to this and what time in particular, whether it be before our services or after, or if it be months far after, but as of my time of recording right now, I'm anxiously awaiting seeing all of you again this Sunday for our services starting back up again. As I had mentioned last week, it's going to be a shortened service, abbreviated service, but we will also need to be extra safe. But I'm excited, very excited, to be able to worship with you all again. And I hope that you are too. And I long for a day where pandemics will not interrupt worship and cause fear for our own personal safety. I long for a day where we don't have to worry about such sorrows. When it comes to sacrificing our own personal safety for God's sake, it's normally a pretty foreign concept in our current culture. And while peace is a blessing, and the religious peace and freedoms that we have in this country are truly a blessing, it has its pros and cons, like all things in life. One man who is known for his sacrifices to God in regards to his own personal safety was the man Stephen. He is only found in the book of Acts, and though for the most part very little is written about him when compared to others, he was a man of influence. He was a man that was and is a role model for many Christians, both young and old. I want to look at the life and death of Stephen. Look at what he did, look at what kind of mindset he had during his life, draw some lessons and get some applications from it. He was a man who was willing to endure persecution. He was a man who was willing to stand up for the truth. He was a man willing to sacrifice his own personal safety to the glory of God. Stephen was, number one, full of faith. You see, Stephen was introduced when a need arose, first in Acts chapter 6. In those days, when a number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look we out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." You see, in the first 3 verses there, you have the widows being forgotten about. They're not being taken care of. They're not being cared for. So the 12 apostles choose 7 men to take care of the daily work so they could focus on, verse 4, praying and preaching. Of Acts chapter 6. And the first man that was mentioned that was chosen was Stephen in Acts 6:5. And Luke, the first thing Luke does is mentions his faith right off the bat. You see, in verses 1 through 3, Stephen used his faith to serve those same neglected widows. Stephen was a man full of faith. Number 2, Stephen was full of power. After Stephen and the 6 others, the word of God was increased in Jerusalem. There were many conversations made and conversions and convictions throughout the city. You see that in verse 7. And in Stephen's ministry, he was, in Acts 6:8, full of faith and power, Luke writes. That faith is a personal conviction that he had, a personal dedication, one that he was devoted to preaching the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, witnessing, and ascension of Christ, how that blood that was outpoured on the cross saves our souls, and that power that is mentioned. He was full of faith and own personal conviction, and that power was the miraculous ability that was given to him by the apostles in verse 6, which he then used to go out among the people to produce faith. You see, there's often talk of if miracles are done today. And while we aren't going to talk about that topic to its fullest extent, I will just say this. There was a time where miracles were needed to produce faith in the non-believers. And this was one of those times. And one of the things that is interesting to note is how miracles are given to others. And we've already saw that, how it happens. The apostles were given the ability to give miracles to whoever they would choose. And whoever they gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous abilities too, that person couldn't pass it on any further. So after the apostles, it would go to the disciples, and then after that, it couldn't go anywhere. So after the first century, miracles could not be worked anymore because after everybody died off, it couldn't be passed on anymore. But in Acts chapter 6, verse 6, Stephen was full of faith and power, verse 8, and he went out among the people and produced faith in Christ by the works of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, Stephen was full of wisdom. Stephen was full of wisdom. While Stephen was among the people, Acts 6:6, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, Acts chapter 6:10. When he spoke, they noticed something different about him. They noticed he was speaking with authority. He had knowledge on the matter. He knew what he was talking about, and that was thanks to the Spirit, giving him the ability, giving him the knowledge like he did with the apostles as well. While some of those people whom he was among were unable to resist the wisdom by which he spoke, there were some stubborn men that accused Stephen of blasphemy all the more against the law and against God. And while Stephen was among the Sanhedrin, he was, number 4, full of scripture. You see, after he was accused, he was brought to the Sanhedrin. And there he preached a very powerful lesson, where in it he retold the history of the Jews. From the Jews going all the way back to when Abraham was chosen, before he was even named Abraham, when he was Abram, to Moses establishing the law on Mount Sinai, to the purpose of the ceremonies enacted in the Levitical system, and how it all followed the heavenly pattern, and also how all of that was only meant to be temporary, and how God had a bigger plan in mind. And then he stands up to the Sanhedrin and convicted them of their sins in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Acts chapter 7, 51 through 53. In that sermon, he spoke about how the Old Testament was only for a temporary amount of time. It was to fill in the gaps, to get the world up to the point, Galatians 4:4, where the fullness of time was come. Towards the end, towards the conclusion of Stephen's sermon, he says in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 and following, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As did your fathers, so did you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And that they have slain which showed before of the coming of the Just One," speaking of Christ, "of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, whom have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." You see, Stephen showed these men their own history, and then he went a step further and showed them how they violated, how their fathers violated the scriptures, how they persecuted the prophets that warned of coming destruction, who preached truth and repentance and justice. He told them how they were murderers, how they betray, how they killed just ones as they were awaiting a just one to come. They were hypocritical, murderous, treacherous deceivers, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, unwilling to change their ways, set in their patterns, resisting the truth. You see, after he showed them their violations of the law and their fathers and how he wasn't blaspheming the law and the prophets and God, but how the Sanhedrin was blaspheming God by the lives that they lived, he then, number five, was full of sacrifice. Continue reading in Acts chapter 7. Go down to verse 54. And when they heard these things, when the Sanhedrin heard the preaching of Stephen, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. He cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. See, Luke paints a very vivid picture here. They cry out with a loud voice, they being the Sanhedrin. They charge him, they rush him, they grab him, they drag him out of the city, they strip him of his clothes, and they lay it down at Saul, later to become Paul's feet. And Paul's going to mention this account in chapter 22, verse 20. And they stoned Stephen. You see, stoning was not a quick process. You see, the custom was to get little pebbles, start with the little pellets of a rock and just pelt them with annoying little stones, and then you progressively start using larger and larger stones until you're throwing heaping boulders at a man. While this was going on, where was Stephen? What was he doing? He was on his knees, showing his faith and dedication to Christ, excited to go and see his Savior. And with a loud voice, he calls out, alas, for their sins not to be laid to their charge. Which, if you remember, was something that Christ did while on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prays for forgiveness for the ignorant actions of arrogant men. And then he closes out that section in verse 60 with he fell asleep, a kinder way of saying he fell dead. You see, Stephen stood up for the truth. He preached the gospel, he corrected those living in error, and endured the consequences for the sake of God and for his glorification and for the gospel to be spread and for his influence to continue after his life was over. And last, number six, Stephen is full of influence. After Stephen was martyred, Acts 22:20, his life influenced many Christians to live faithfully. At that time, many left Jerusalem out of fear of persecution. But what did they go? They went into the world around them, preaching the gospel, telling the story of Stephen of Christ. And like Abel, as mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 4, the influence of Stephen is carried unto us this day. Stephen, while being killed, asked for forgiveness for his murderers. He preached with power and boldness, performing miracles, converting, conversing, and convicting souls in Jerusalem up until his last breath, and his influence continued to this day, showing us the meaning, and others, the meaning of Christianity. Christianity takes sacrifice, hard work, dedication and boldness, a love for souls, faith in God, and hope for heaven. I hope that Stephen will be able to be a role model for us each and every day of our life, realizing that we need to help those who are living in error, but also realize that we may have to suffer some consequences afterwards. But consequences may not always be a negative thing. In one sense, they were negative for Stephen when he was being stoned, but in another, that was a positive thing because God was glorified above Stephen. I thank you for listening today. I hope that this lesson is one that reminds us all of the faith of Stephen and how we should be modeling our lives after him, how we should be looking unto him, and how we should be looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He is our salvation. I thank you for listening.